Today we are reading from Matthew chapter 9. We have Pastor Joshua sharing. Morning to you all. Now's the beginning of this morning devotion. I'm so thankful. The pandemic is stabilizing, improving a lot. Very, very soon, we should have the on-site morning devotion soon. Yes, we so look forward to it. Highly expectant of it. Now we are on Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 9 is linked to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and 9 recorded 10 miracles in total in chapter 8 and 9. 5 in each chapter, 5 in 8 and 5 in 9. And here in chapter 9, 5 miracles are recorded. So Matthew put it that way, recorded this way. Was telling us, Matthew was exactly what he said, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus means Jehovah saves. So that's why he was the Christ. And that's his genealogy recorded in Matthew chapter 1. He was the son of Abraham and David. And how he was, he started to minister on earth. So Jesus was truly the Son of God. So he came. That means the God's salvation came to us. And Jesus saved people, delivered people from sins. That means Jehovah saves. Chapter 8 of and 9 of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, tells us the signs of Jehovah saves. That's the signs, the mark. How do we know that Jehovah saves? He means Jehovah saves. In the beginning, on his birth, angel leading like three wise men from the east. And then Jesus went down to Egypt, and then God saved his son from Egypt. Then he stayed in Galilee. Then he went to Capernaum. And in chapter 4 of Matthew, those who live in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who are in the darkness, there is a light on them. And then Jesus started to preach. That means that, you know, Jesus is the light and he saves. And it continues on. He has done a lot of miracles. There's the Beatitude, and then continue to teach. And at the end of chapter 7, that's the end of Beatitude, of the Sermon of Mount. So he was like the king. He went up to the mount. So disciple came to him on the mount. Then he sat down and taught them many things. That started on the Sermon of the Mount. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is near, from chapter 4 to all the way to the Sermon of the Mount, from chapter 5. And many, many followed him. Matthew gave us a picture. Jesus is the king. Jehovah saves himself. He is the king. And it's the main theme of the Gospel of Matthew. He talked of the kingdom principles. People listen to him. Then you say that you need to live it out, walk it. And Jesus came down from the mount. And then in chapter 8, he came down from the mount, many follow him. So chapter 8 and 9 is one unit. Jehovah says this king, king of the kingdom of heaven, the one, the promised one from God. Is he truly how we believe him to be? What did he do? After teaching, after the kingdom principle was astonishing to others and full of power, authority, not like how the scribes teach. But did he really live out his calling, his identity? What are the proof? These two chapters are the proof. Chapter 8 and 9. 10 miracles. We go back to on chapter 8, the 5 miracles. Heal the man with leprosy. Heal the servant of the centurion. Heal the Peter's mother-in-law who had fever. And then also many were healed and cast out many demons. Calm the storm, overcame the nature. Wind and storm submit to him. And the fifth one, and he drive out the healing of two demon-possessed men. And then the demons went down to the pig, to the swine. So five miracles are recorded in chapter 8. Men with leprosy was healed. Demon possessed men were healed. And even the storm obeyed him. He it was the Lord who overcame the nature. Even the winds and the storms obey him. Even the spiritual realm, all the demons submit to him. Everyone who had sickness, who are demon possessed, were healed by him. Even the people with leprosy, incurable disease at the time, the unclean people. This Jehovah saved, the person was willing to heal them, even to touch them. Who was he? Who is he? He is truly the Jehovah saves. Five miracles in chapter 8 and now five miracles in this chapter. In total, 10 miracles. So it's a cycle of miracle, a cycle of 10. And then there is a conclusion here. Today we are on chapter 9. The title, I'm telling you the conclusion. After the 10 miracles, I'm telling you the conclusion. And I put this title as the conclusion of chapter 9. It's also concluding chapter 8 and 9. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send. That's the title. Verse 38. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth. That's 61:1, responding to Isaiah 61:1. Why do we ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth? Why? That's the question we must ask. We ask such questions. What does it mean to ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth? I'm telling you today. I will go through five miracles first. And these five miracles, and also is also intertwined with some Jesus teachings. The teaching tells us what these miracles are telling us. What are the purposes of all these miracles? Verse 1 to 8 to start with. That's quite obvious. Heal the man, the lame, the paralytic. Heal the paralytic. Verse 2. Okay, verse 1. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town, that's Capernaum. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 2. We don't go into detail about his conversation with the Pharisees and scribes. Jesus saying that, you know, so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. Verse 6. Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. Verse 8. What was this authority? To forgive sin. Here. The miracle of healing a paralytic to demonstrate that Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. He did not just calm the storm. He did not just cast out demons. He was the one who forgives sins. This miracle shows us that he is the Lord who forgives sins. He forgives sinners. He didn't just forgive sinners. He calls sinners. The calling of Matthew, that paragraph. So at the end, he says, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus did pull us out of, deliver us out of sins, just like at the beginning of Matthew. What angel said to Joseph, "Call him Jesus, because he will save my people from sin." That's Matthew chapter 1. When the angel told Joseph how to name his son. He healed the paralytic. He healed his sins. He forgave his sins. He had authority to forgive sins. And he called sinners. So what should all sinners do? What should we do? Just like Joas said, just share. Tax collectors should arise immediately and follow Jesus. Is it easy to get up and follow Jesus immediately? No, it's really, really hard. You have to tidy up the booth of the tax collector, you know, the bits and bobs, or the account. You need to sort out a lot of things. And yet, he gets up and follow Jesus. That's it. Here, it tells us what we should do. So we must know who Jesus is. The theme of faith is actually like a connotation to who Jesus is. So it's like an appendix. So Jesus is Jehovah Saves, right? What should man do? What should man do? Come before him, be healed by him. Arise and follow him. That's what Matthew was trying to tell us. As we read on the second paragraph, 14 to 16, two miracles recorded here. Heal the one with a woman of a blood flow and also raise the dead. The woman of a blood flow was healed. That's the miracle of miracles. There were two miracles here. He healed the dead daughter in the middle, in between. Then the woman of blood flow was healed. But these two miracles happened right after John the Baptist sent people to ask Jesus. 14 to 16, is one paragraph. It's a major paragraph here. The connecting passage is in verse 18. While he was saying this, a ruler came. While he was saying this, that's verse 14 to 17. John the Baptist sent someone to ask Jesus. And then the disciple asked, you know, your disciple did not fast, but my disciple fast. And Jesus said something very important. When the bridegroom was with the, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn when he is still with them? Who is Jesus? Jehovah saves. Son of God has come. The hidden thing in the creation of the world. Now is the end times. Jesus has come. The time of bridegroom has come. The time of Jesus has come. To us, Jesus didn't just come. He has accomplished the salvation and he went up to heaven. Today we are his children. We follow him. We are the church set up by God, established by Jesus. We are special people. When Jesus came on earth, he told people that the bridegroom had come. How should man cooperate? We do not sew the new clothes on the old wineskin. New wine needs new wineskin. A new era, we have new way of doing things, new material, new wine needs new wineskin. So they were not like in the Old Testament time, they were waiting for the Messiah. They fast and pray. They plead for God saves, that the Christ can come. They were still waiting. But Jesus said he had already come. That's why my disciple did not have to wait. He has already come. The Savior has come. And he was being shown to others. Look at this. Behold these miracles. While he was saying this, verse 18, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Verse 19. Why did Jesus heal this, the daughter of the ruler? He didn't have much faith, did he, the ruler? His faith, he didn't have great faith. He wants Jesus to lay hand on his daughter. But he knew that it's not like centurion. A centurion say, you know, just by your word and my servant will be healed. But Jesus still follow him. While he was saying this, that the bridegroom had already come. And then this ruler came while he was saying this. She died. Please lay hand on her. Jesus didn't tell him that, hey, I don't need to go to your place and lay hand on her. You didn't have much faith. Jesus never said that. You are the ruler of the synagogue. Where is your faith, hey? Jesus never rebuked him. And then he went with him. And then a woman of blood flow came and she stopped him. She touched him. She touched the hem of the garment and immediately her blood flow stopped. And Jesus said that your faith has saved you. And Jesus went on the journey and entered the ruler's house. And then people say, hey, the girl is dead. And Jesus said, no. Jesus raised her from the dead. These two miracles joined together. What do they tell us? Jesus is the bridegroom. The time of the Savior had come. To raise the dead, to stop the blood flow of the woman. Do you know, women with blood flow are unclean. As soon as she touched him, then she become clean. Jesus did not become unclean by this unclean woman. But the life of Jesus healed this woman. Jesus also rose the dead. Who is he? He truly is Jehovah saves. Not only so, in the Old Testament, paralytic was were healed. The paralytic was healed. People with leprosy were healed. That's the mark of the coming Savior. And one more thing. The blind sees. That's what the prophesies in the Old Testament. Now, as we read on, I lost count. We are on miracle number 9. The blind sees, the blind saw. Two blind men came and begged Jesus. And Jesus healed them. Verse 29, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And their sight was restored. Verse 29 and 30. Their sight was restored. And then they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. Verse 31. Their sight was restored. What did it tell us? He is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And lastly, the mute spoke. The mute spoke. 10 miracles as we count. Even the mute spoke. The blind sees. The lame walks. The people with leprosy healed. The dead was raised. And the sinners was forgiven. The unclean woman with blood flow stopped and healed. Who is this Jesus? 10 is a cycle, so 10 miracles here is a cycle. This cycle of miracle, he is the Son of God, he is the Jehovah saves. This cycle of miracles demonstrate these two facts clearly. And then Matthew did a conclusion. Verse 36 to 38, that's the conclusion. Very important. I want you to point to you, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Everything else were adjective participles, but went through all the towns and villages. So Jehovah saves, he went through all the towns and villages. He went through all the towns and villages. What did he do? Jehovah saves, went through all the towns and villages. What did he do? Jehovah saves. And three adverbs here. Teaching, the first one. So he went through, he taught in their synagogues. The second one, preached the good news of the kingdom and also healed every disease and sickness. As he went through, he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. He walked on, He went through and he did all this to show that he was sent forth by God. Wherever he goes, he's healing came, his teaching, his words will be there. That's how he went through all the towns and villages. Who could be saved? Who could receive salvation? Those who have faith. Now, verse 37. The main verb here. Oh, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Verse 36. Saw is not the main verb. Is had compassion, seeing, and he had compassion on them. So had compassion is the main verb. Jesus, the Savior, Jehovah saves. He walked, went through all the towns and villages doing what I just mentioned, teaching, preaching, and healing. And he had compassion as well. Jesus had compassion. He had compassion on everyone in the towns and in all the towns and villages. He had compassion on all those who came to him because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It's a picture here. The king of the kingdom of heaven, Jehovah saves, went through all the towns and villages, teach, preach, and save and healing, and taught others. He saw many, and he had compassion on all of them. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 36. Brothers and sisters, we must see the picture ourselves. Jehovah saves came on earth. He did many things to show his identity. He had compassion on everyone. These people came to him, and Jesus had compassion on them. They were like sheep without shepherd. They were in darkness, in bondage of death. They were harassed and helpless. They couldn't find their refuge. But God is their refuge. God alone is. They believe in Jehovah. They believe in the Old Testament, but did not know this Savior. When he was preaching, then people were, you know, living in darkness. Were in darkness. But the light came on them. Jesus saw them like sheep without a shepherd. But today, do we see that? The first one we see today, Jesus is the Savior. The second one is the picture Jesus saw, we must see it too. They are like sheep without shepherd during this pandemic. We are in end times already. Disaster one after the other. We see that. We see the hearts of everyone to like sheep without shepherd. Everyone needs Jesus. The legislative council member needs Jesus. Government needs Jesus. People need Jesus. Every one of us needs Jesus. Hong Kong desperately needs miracle. Amen. At such a time as this, we see this picture. Just like Jesus saying to his disciples, you see this picture, don't you? Then ask the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send our workers into his harvest field. The harvest is plentiful because they are like sheep without a shepherd. It was like that at the time. It's the same today. Hong Kong and the whole world is the same. The harvest is plentiful. The time, the era of Savior has come. Salvation came. Kingdom of Heaven has come. But who can receive discipleship? Who can enter the Kingdom of Heaven? The harvest is plentiful. That's why ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. Why? Why should we do that? Because the first one, the harvest is plentiful. That's why you need more workers. But every worker must be sent forth by God. That's important. It doesn't say that, there is the harvest, I will go. No. Every worker who harvest must enter the gate of the law of the harvest. In Jesus. And sent forth by Jesus. When Jesus sends you out, the Holy Spirit will be with you. Because the commissioning carries anointing and power. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them with authority and power and anointing. If you do not come before Jesus and plead with Jesus, if you are not sent by Jesus, that's by your own strength, you cannot do much. But we enter into Jesus himself. Jesus sent us out. The power of the kingdom of heaven is in us. Amen. I thank God. God sent me and Simo back to Hong Kong. God said to us that he will work in Hong Kong, and so should we come back to Hong Kong. That's why we came back in 2001. Praise the Lord. It has been 19 years we are in Hong Kong. We have been in Hong Kong. And we built 611. Signs and wonders follow us. One by one. Many people, many families turned around, and we are thankful that as this we come to this point, when the society is in great need, this mustard seed has become the greatest green, one of the greatest vegetables, greatest trees and greatest vegetables. God, use us. I need all of you to respond to this. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are filled. Now is the time to work. God sent us out. Send us to come back to Hong Kong. God will do here. I want that we have more and more children to follow us. May the compassion of Jesus, the compassion of God on this world, is in you and me. And that we may see our sight may be restored. And we are just like the tax collector. We will follow Jesus. May God bless you all. That's the end of the message today.